إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أعاذنا الله وإياكم منها أجمعين أما بعد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. Dear brothers and sisters, dear elders, we praise and thank Allah Ta'ala for blessing us with Islam. We thank Allah for blessing us with Iman. We thank Allah Ta'ala for blessing us to be from the Ummah of the beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We thank Allah Ta'ala for blessing us with fasting, with prayer, with recitation of Quran and dhikr and reflection in the blessed month of Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala accept from you and from us and forgive us for our shortcomings and our lapses and our sins. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. Dear brothers and sisters, we celebrate this day of Eid not to celebrate our return to food and drink, but to celebrate the gifts of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, generous gifts from a generous Lord. Ramadan is the great teacher from whom we have learned and benefited so much and learned about ourselves. So what exactly has Ramadan taught us in this month that we just fasted and prayed in? Ramadan has taught us about breaking our norms, خَلْقُ الْعَوَائِدِ. It has taught us about being taken outside of our comfort zones. Ramadan has taught us about training ourselves and imposing control over our appetites. Ramadan has taught us about cultivating a higher standard of behavior. Ramadan has taught us about abstaining from food and drink, abstaining from the halal, in order to better abstain from the haram. So why exactly did we fast for an entire month? We fast first and foremost because it is the command of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah orders us to fast. وَنَمْتَثِلُ بِأَمْرِهِ. We comply with His commands. But Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala did not give us a command without explaining the wisdom and the purpose behind it. He tells us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. He tells us the reason why He obligated fasting, saying, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed upon those before you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you will develop taqwa, so that you will develop this consciousness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That is the reason Allah has answered the question for us, why we fast. Taqwa development, that is the purpose of fasting. What is taqwa, dear brothers and sisters? Taqwa comes from the Arabic word wiqaya, which is to shield and to protect. So to develop taqwa is to exercise taqwa by training to use the spiritual shield of consciousness in fear of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches us, As-siyamu junnah. As-siyamu junnah, fasting is a shield. It is a shield, a means of securing ourselves, of protecting ourselves, of guarding ourselves from things that are dangerous to us, things that are deadly to us. Imagine, dear brothers and sisters, a knight, a warrior in training. He has a sword, and he has a shield, and he has his armor, and he trains in swordsmanship. He strengthens his body, and he trains in wielding his blade, but he also has to train in wielding that shield. It's not enough for the warrior, the knight, to just be a good swordsman. He also has to train himself with using his shield to protect himself. If the knight has a good offense, but a weak defense and no shield to defend himself, then he will succumb to his enemies and he will fall in battle. The knight who carries the shield in battle uses it to protect himself from the attacks that will come from all sides. And that is because the knight has many, many foes, many enemies. The enemies of sin, the enemy of transgression, the enemy of shaitan, of haram desires, of distractions, of false ideologies and false beliefs, any and everything that is against the guidance of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a spiritual enemy, and we have to have a shield to protect ourselves from their attacks. Dear brothers and sisters, Ramadan is not about stuffing ourselves at suhoor. It's not about sleeping in all day and stuffing ourselves again at night and embracing Ramadan as a special month of a long form of ghafla, of heedlessness, where we go through the motions of fasting without actual change. It is not the month where we spend our nights just consuming and just chatting about useless things. Likewise, on this day of Eid, dear brothers and sisters, the day of Eid is not about returning to blameworthy habits that we tried to leave in Ramadan. The day of Eid is not about returning to immodesty, returning to the haram, returning to heedlessness. It is about celebrating the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is about showing gratitude to Allah ta'ala who gave us the ability to obey Him in the month of Ramadan. And Allah explains this reality in the Quran in the verses in which He describes Ramadan. لِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةِ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ He says that you complete the number of days and that you glorify the praises of Allah for Him guiding you and that you show gratitude. That is the purpose of the Eid, dear brothers and sisters. Fasting, therefore, is to strengthen ourselves to carry the shield of taqwa. And taqwa has various levels. And we develop taqwa in Ramadan no matter where we are. The first level of taqwa that we want to develop in Ramadan and develop after Ramadan and for every month evermore is the basic level of taqwa. And that is the level of securing one's iman, knowing our Lord and Creator, the Absolute, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, God Almighty. Who is Allah Jalla Jalaluhu? Who is Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah? What do I believe? What makes me different from others? Is Islam just my cultural identity? If I was born into a different family, would I even be a Muslim? What is my Islam? What do I believe? Do I practice my deen because it is the truth and is congruent with reality, or because it's my family's faith? That is the first level of securing one's iman. Dear brothers and sisters, whether you are a convert to Islam or whether you are born into a Muslim family, every single one of us has to make something like a conversion process where one makes a conscious decision that ana abdullah, ana amatullah, I am the servant of Allah, male or female, and I make a conscious decision to worship Allah and fulfill my purpose on this earth. A conscious decision, dear brothers and sisters. As Allah tells us, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Know, you must know that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. Every single Muslim has to come to a place where they make that conscious decision. This is how I believe, with insight, and this is how I choose to live my life. I may not be perfect, but this is haqq. This is truth. And truth is truth even if I fall short. We have in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a very stark warning in the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu. in a lengthy narration in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes the process of the soul being removed from the body. He describes what happens to different kinds of people when they are interred in their grave, their qabr, and their family leaves them. And then come the two angels, Munkar and Nakir, to ask them three questions. In that hadith, they ask the person sitting them upright, and they ask them three questions. Man Rabbuka, wa ma dinuka, wa man nabiyuka. Who is your Lord? What is your way of life? And who is your prophet? So the believer who lived that reality will answer correctly, Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah Almighty. My deen is al-Islam, and my prophet is Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then some people will not get the answers. Some people will be asked by Munkar al-Nakir the same questions. Who is your Lord? What is your deen? And who is your prophet? And they will say, سَمِعْتُ النَّاسِ يَقُولُونَ شَيْئًا فَقُلْتُهُ. I heard people saying something, and I said it too, but it didn't reach the heart. It was a handbag. It was a cultural identity that didn't go any further than words. There was no reality to that. They just repeated what everyone else said around them, and it did not avail them in the least. And then the angels, Munkar and Nakir, proceed to punish them in the grave for this. Wal-iyadu billah. This is the reality, dear brothers and sisters, a conscious decision. That is the first level of taqwa, hifdhul iman, securing one's iman. The second level is shielding ourselves from the haram. Sin, dear brothers and sisters, is a bottomless pit. If you live long enough, you will encounter people who have lost everything due to their indulgence in sin. They are taken down due to their lust, due to their greed, due to their wrath, due to their sloth and gluttony and pride and envy. They're taken down due to their engrossing themselves in haram. The great Imam al-Busayri rahimahullah says in his Burda, فَلَا تَرُمْ بِالْمَعَاصِي كَهْزْرَ شَهْوَتِهَا إِنَّ الطَّعَامَ يُقَوْلِي شَهْوَةَ النَّهِمِ. He says in his poem, do not try to thwart unlawful desires by satisfying them, for food only increases a glutton's desires. This means that we should not allow our ego to fool us and say, allow me just this one haram desire and grant me just this one time. For once I have gotten what I want and filled myself of this desire, I will settle down and I won't seek another. That's not the reality. You can't say to your nafs, just one more bite, just one more sin, just one more view, just one more glance. It's all a trap, dear brothers and sisters, because satisfying the craving of the nafs, the unlawful cravings, just creates more cravings of the nafs. When you open up a bag of chips, for example, it's nearly impossible to just eat one. And the same goes for the haram. If we succumb to our cravings, it's not just going to be that one. It becomes another, and then another, and then another. This is how it is with the haram. Imam al-Busayri then said in his poem, وَالنَّفْسُكَ الطِّفْلِ إِن تُهْمِلْهُ شَبَّ عَلَى حُبْدَ الرَّضَاعِ وَإِن تَفْطِمْهُ يَنْفَاطِمِ. He says that the ego, the lower self, is like a child. Neglect it, and it will grow up loving to suckle. But if you wean it, it will be weaned. So the nafs is like a child. And what makes the nafs like a child is that it's feeble-minded. And it prefers its desires and getting its way over all things. And the young child is receptive to anything and doesn't know the differences between what is good and what is evil. If a young child is left to their own devices, if they could choose, they would have ice cream and cookies for dinner every single day. Likewise, the nafs. If the nafs could have its haram unlimited every single day, it would do so. The only way is to wean it. And fasting gives us the opportunity to wean our nafs. If we do not wean ourselves, if we do not wean the nafs from its childish ways, we will succumb to sin over and over and over again. Dear brothers and sisters, Ramadan is that weaning period. Ramadan is that weaning period to wean ourselves from the haram. How do we do it? We wean ourselves from the halal by staying away from the halal food and drink. And if you wean yourself from the halal, how much easier should it be to wean yourself from the haram? Dear brothers and sisters, sin is a bottomless pit that cannot be filled with more sin. What fills the soul is gratitude, shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you appreciate the halal that Allah has given you, you will be satisfied with what He has given you instead of rapaciously demanding more and more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands that we train ourselves in Ramadan by avoiding the halal in food and drink to better and more easily avoid the haram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our Ramadan a Ramadan of weaning so that we are properly trained and continue that process outside of Ramadan. May Allah bless us to retain those lessons through this year and evermore, and accept our fasting and our prayer, and forgive us our shortcomings, our slips, and our sins. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa ba'd. Dear brothers and sisters, we are here today in the house of Allah celebrating the day of Eid. And the Eid is that to which one returns. In Arabic, you say, Aada ya'udu audatan Eidan, to return. Eid is the day of return. The biggest Eid, dear brothers and sisters, is not today. The biggest Eid is not Eid al-Adha. The biggest Eid is the Eid of the ultimate return. Yawm al-Mi'ad, the day of the ultimate return. And that is the best Eid for any of us entering through the gates of Jannah and being in the company of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is al-Eid al-Akbar, the greatest Eid. May Allah reunite all of us on that gracious Eid. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah tells us about Ramadan and says that it is ayyaman ma'duda. It is a limited number of days. It is a specific number of days. And our teacher, Ramadan, came to us for just some days with some lessons that we have to take to heart, because our lives too are just ayyam ma'duda. They too are limited number of days we have in this world. That's all we have. So are we going to use these ayyam ma'dudat, our own limited number of days, in obedience to Allah Ta'ala and living our purpose? Or are we going to waste our days in uselessness, in distraction, in heedlessness and disobedience? Will we return to Allah Ta'ala with a renewed commitment? Or will we return to the old ways? Will we return to the bad habits? Will we return to ghafla? That is the question we have to ask ourselves, dear brothers and sisters. Because for many people, Ramadan taught them important lessons about themselves, and it has inspired them to strive and move forward. Yet for others, Ramadan was just hunger. It was just thirst. It was just being tired in the morning and tired in the evening. It was just sleep deprivation. And the first day after Ramadan for them marks a return to bad habits, and that's all it is. And that person is the Ramadani, meaning it only stays in Ramadan. Whatever they built in Ramadan is demolished on day one of Eid. We cannot be Ramadani, dear brothers and sisters. We have to be Rabbani, Rabbani, lordly people, seeking Allah Ta'ala and His pleasure every day, every month, every year. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Worship Allah until death comes to you. That is the reality. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are successful and whose deeds are met with His approval and pleasure. May Allah accept from us and from all of you and from the ummah our fasting and our prayer, our tilawa of the Quran, our remembrance, our sadaqat. And may Allah ta'ala give us the quality of shukr, of gratitude, for His endless blessings. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Eidukum Mubarak wa taqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum salih al-a'mal. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.